To confirm. Are you really confirmed? You know, that means of His promises, of His knowledge, of His wisdom. Oftentimes there's a Greek word that in the translation, it just doesn't quite grab it. So you've got to learn the Greek word. So you're going to learn one today. It's not often that I insist that you learn the actual Greek word, but simply the proper definition. But today, I want you to become acquainted with Biblios. Biblios. It's spelled B-E-B-A-I-O-U-S and pronounced Biblios. What does it mean? It means the base. As a matter of fact, its prime in the Greek is basis, which is the same as our English word. It's rare that ever happens, but in that particular case, that's where it comes from. And it means the same thing. It's your basis for being. So, many words translated sure and steadfast really mean your very basis of what? For being a Christian. Why are you a Christian? Well, I was told by Grandpa I should be saved. That's not enough. That's not good enough. That's no reason. It's wonderful to respect and have respect for your granddad and his great-granddad and so forth, but those are traditions of men. You must be informed as to the plan of God, what you're even doing here in the flesh. That is the basis for having faith. Well, I've been told all you have to do is have faith. But have faith in what? Only a fool follows faith of what someone has said, and they've never documented it for themselves. In other words, if your soul and the basis of your eternal life, I would think that I would look into my Father's Word and get on that platform of His Word and make my own mind up whether I had faith in something or not, or better said, perhaps, what I should have faith in. All right? We know, of course, we must start by having faith in Him. But I feel it loses a little bit. The word basis, if we were to take it back to the etymology, it even comes from walking. What do you walk on? Your feet. That's the very platform, the basis of your mobility. And in your mind, likewise, so it should be, that you should be sure and have proper information from your Father's Word on which to base your faith, your belief, your works, whereby you know of a certainty that you are in line to receive the promises of God, or you're not going to be blessed. It's just that simple. I like to think that one of the reasons that we signed a contract to go into Europe, a small church in northwest Arkansas, is probably now we are now the largest broadcaster in Christian networks in the world. It's one of the best kept secrets, and thank God He keeps it that way. Going into more homes in Canada, from Puerto Rico, Mexico, Canada, Hawaii, Alaska, and now the whole Orient, Europe, Russia. We have students in Russia today that study with us, and that's fantastic. But for this reason, why? Because we try to obey and teach His Word, whereby people are informed, therefore having a solid basis, or biblios, on which to stand, so that you're not like a reed shaken in the wind. Sure, the word sure in English can mean, in other words, if you are sure of something, we could go ahead and, as a linguist, and use the word surety, which is kind of akin to a guarantee. But when you take the prime of the Greek, you have a guarantee because of an oath and a promise. We're going to go into that a little bit today. I want you to open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 3. We're going to see how this word, this Greek word, is used and how it is translated in in and is used in the English. Hebrews chapter 3. And we're going to begin with about verse 12 of this, with those thoughts in mind. Verse 12. In Hebrews, this would be Paul is the writer under God of the book of Hebrews. Take heed, brethren. That means be careful, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now, number one, if you really know the love of our Father and how good He is to you and the promises He's made to you, and you've got to claim them. You're not going to get them if you don't claim them. Period. It's just, He doesn't operate that way, regardless of what anyone might say. You've got to be familiar with Him. After all, He is your Father. He's your real Father. Though you respect your earthly father, He's the Father of your very soul and being. All right? Verse 13. But exhort, that means to work together, one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Now, what kind of sin are we talking about here? We all fall short. We all have negative thoughts. We're not really talking about that. Sin, the greatest sin you can do is idolatry, which any form of being pulled off into a belief other than the Word of God, even into the traditions of men that might say this is of God. And you don't know for a fact that it is the teachings of our Father, that's a sin. And it will twist your mind and you'll get a mindset, perhaps from listening to some man. And that's why I always encourage you, don't listen to this man or any other man without checking it out. Use your own mind, because you're the one that's going to answer for yourself. What am I saying? Don't get on a guilt trip because of that, because we all fall short. Repent. Say, I'm sorry, Father. And get back in the traces, and that's why we exhort each other. And it means to encourage each other as well. All right? Verse 14. For we are made partakers of Christ. Now, don't read over that. We are made partakers. That means you partake also. If we hold the beginning, if what? If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Now, the word steadfast here, guess what it is in the Greek? Betios. That steadfast means more than steadfast. Steadfast to you in the English means, I'm not going to waver, I'm just going to stand here. No, it means more than that. Take the entire plan of God, which is your base, and hang on to it with confidence, partake of it. With confidence, hold on to the basic teachings, not just milk, but your very reason for being. That, therefore, that brings clarity and solidity in your mind to know what you're standing upon. You're sure of yourself, and then comes peace of mind. And then comes your love to the Father, whereby you are blessed in your personal life. Sometimes you can get so blessed that it seems like you can do no wrong, and about that time you'll slip somewhere and God will reach down and correct you. And that's well and good. Always say, thank you, Father. Repent and get back to it. But there you have, within this word, steadfast, bidios, which means more than simply to try. In other words, it's the whole basis of your belief, which is to say, the Word of God. 15, while it is said, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. When some heard, they didn't believe. And they grew very disenchanted. Verse 16, for some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. In other words, they died there because they wouldn't believe. An example to you today. 17, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcass fell in the wilderness? Think about that. They got away from the basis to the point that while Moses was on the mount receiving the Ten Commandments, what happened? They built a golden calf and they had witnessed those great miracles. You want a little food for thought, something a little deeper? Why 40 years? You know, at that time people were living quite lengthy lives. Why did they die in 40 years? Because their basis for manna wasn't exactly their prime diet. Think about it. Give that a lot of thought. It's a different study, a different thought for a different time, and cannot be documented. But I, for myself, do not believe they could live on angels' food and be out of the will of God and live any great length of time. Therefore, all those that were supposed to did what? Turned up their heels. Okay? Think about it. Verse 18, and to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? 19, so we see that they could not enter because of unbelief. Why? They lost their basis. They lost their base, that they actually believed in. In other words, if you have any intelligence at all, let me rephrase that. If you have anything on the ball at all, you're not going to believe in something you don't understand totally, as best you can. You're going to have a pretty good working knowledge of it before you can truly be steadfast. You have to know that you know, and then you'll stand. But if you go into the old tradition, do you love Jesus? Are you saved? Never crack a Bible open. Yes, I'm saved. Salvation intuitively is yours if you accept, but then it's time to go to work. It's time to find out what He taught, what He expects of you, what you are to do, to understand the world conditions, whereby when you hear the term New World Order, it was written of thousands of years ago, if you're attuned. So, you see, it's important that you believe all the way to the root, which is to say, the basis for you believing. Again, a person cannot sincerely become a strong Christian, that's to say, a follower of Christ, a Christ man or woman, without knowing why. Why were these things? Why would Father do this? Because He loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son? True. He loved His children to the point that He destroyed the first earth age and gave them an opportunity to love Him, to find Him, to follow Him. That's the basis. Believing can be so shallow when put to a test. You can find out that some people may not, they may say they believe, and you could question them a little bit and find out they're biblically illiterate. So they're a very shallow believer. Understand what I'm saying. I'm not criticizing anyone that tries. I'm not criticizing ignorance. I'm saying a person should care enough about their own self, or I want to say soul, that they want to know the facts of what it is that their basis for believing is. And that's what Biblios is His basic truths, His Word. Paul would be teaching again in chapter 6, 5. Let's turn there, okay? Chapter 5. I want you to grasp what the subject and the object is, or you're not going to understand where we're going. And we'll pick the subject and the object up in chapter 5, verse 12. And in a sense, you'll see there's nothing new under the sun. Listen. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, you've been a Christian long enough that you should be a teacher. Ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. That's the very basic parts, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Not even potty trained yet, you might say. Some people, Christians for 20 years, and still all they know is salvation and baptism. Though it's beautiful, there is so much more good food, meat, in God's Word. Babes. He said, you've been here long enough that you should be able to plant seeds with knowledge and wisdom. And what are you? Babes. All right? Still wearing diapers. 13. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. You want me to read that again? Everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. That means mature, not biblically illiterate. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. In other words, you can't know what's going on if you haven't exercised your mind in the Word of God. Where does all true wisdom come from? From our Father. There's wisdom within the world, but I guarantee you, if you count on it to save your soul, you're a lost soul indeed. It does not hurt to be streetwise, but true wisdom, that is to say, the reason for being, to understand why we can find mammoths and dinosaurs millions of years old, in our Father's Word and understand it and see that there is no conflict between our Father's Word and science or even being. That meat sustains you and brings you peace of mind and the blessings of God. I'm going to go first verse of chapter 6. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on into perfection. The principles being the very tender truths like salvation and baptism. Let's go on into the meat. And this word perfection, again, is a Greek word that it's the same word as full age used up above. It means maturity. Mature in Him. How do you mature? By gaining skill, knowledge, and wisdom. Why did I read those verses for you? I'm going to take you deeper into the chapter. He continues on and scolds them about the doctrines of baptism and laying on hands, resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment, salvation and baptism. That's all you ever get around to. And when someone repents, then they are forgiven and they go on. But to teach re-salvation, in other words, for someone that would have a group of people and teach salvation message over and over for 30 years is like re-crucifying Christ all over again. As a matter of fact, that's what it says in verse 6. If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put Him to an open shame. That He gave His life for people and they won't try to grasp or use intelligence to find out why. But simply to say, yes, I believe. Believe what? They don't know. Now, again, I'm not belittling, I'm not criticizing, but it's important for you that He calls out, that He has given ears to hear, that care, that you take a little more interest. What's He saying? And truthfully, it's this, that it's really a sin to take to bring in a bunch of sheep, hem them up, and teach salvation to them, and they say, yes, I believe. That beautiful step, and it is so beautiful. And then never take them into the meat of God's Word. After 20 years, they still are on milk rather than on meat from God's Word. And that's like saying Christ did the saving, all right? I want to explain it this way. Christ did the saving, and for you to keep teaching salvation that they got to be saved again is saying He couldn't do it. And it's a shame. All right? Now, that having been said in this chapter, the only thing I wanted to prove to you is that Father wants you to get into the meat of His Word, that you can better understand. Now skip to the 13th verse. For when God made promise to Abraham because he could swear by no greater. He swore by himself. I mean, he is the creator. 14, saying, surely, blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. 15, and so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. And when you patiently endure and study his word, you receive the promise also of blessings in your life. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation. Now that's what this is about, to confirm the fact that you're in good shape. Confirmation that you're on the right track. Confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Do you know what this word confirmation is here? It's bibliosis. A little of an extension of the same word, basically. Bibliosis. That's what it is. Confirmation. Are you confirmed? How do you confirm yourself? By being mature. By knowing God's plan. By knowing that when God promises you something, if you haven't received that promise, there's something wrong with you. You're not ready for it. 17. Well, and let me say this. That's an easy fix. All you have to do is pray to Him, humble yourself, and say, I'm willing. I want ears to hear. I want to know your word. I'm not talking about somebody becoming a fanatic, dear one. I'm talking about someone using common sense. 17. Wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. He couldn't swear by anybody greater than himself. He is your Father. When you feel that warmth of the Shekinah glory of the Holy Spirit, He's touched you. So you know He's real. And furthermore, I would hate to base my faith on believing if I did not have the basics of the Word to know that everything that has happened was written of thousands of years before and it comes to pass exactly as it's written. Or when people would ask Christ questions, He would say, haven't you read? I told you a long time ago. It was obvious they had not read. They did not know. They were biblically illiterate, though they claimed to be religious people. Think about it. Don't fall in that category. Immutable. God can't lie. And when He makes a promise and an oath, it's set. There's no need no more be said. 18. That by two immutable, that's unchangeable, things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Listen carefully. Verse 19. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Do you know what anchors your soul? That means that's where you're tied to. That's what gives you stability. Anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that wherein the veil. In other words, what it's really saying, and it's kind of a poor translation, it says it actually lets you go behind the veil. That's where Christ went. Do you know what that word sure is we just read there, along with steadfast? It's compounded. Same meaning. Biblios. The whole basics. Let that be your anchor. And friend, if you don't have that, your anchor, how can it be the anchor of your soul, be anchored in that that is steadfast, your basics, that is to say the Word of God, if you don't know it. And I'm not saying you have to memorize every scripture, or I never want to intimidate anyone that I've been blessed with a gift of teaching and a memory of God's Word. Don't, never let that intimidate you. But at least have the working knowledge of God's plan, that you know the overall plan. God's Word flows like a novel. It's about one man and his family and other peoples as they come in contact with him. Great love stories. Just flows like a beautiful stream of water, that you know the overall plan. God's Word flows like a novel. It's about one man and his family and other peoples as they come in contact with him. Great love stories. Just flows like a beautiful stream of water. When you understand basis. And that basis, don't overread that. That basis will bring you maturity, whereby you yourself can teach. If some lost soul in a moment of tragedy or trauma, that you can give them a word of encouragement, and it will strengthen them because you have received the promise. When God blesses you, He blesses you real good. And if you make any effort to stay in His Word, He's going to bless you, and you're going to be blessed real good. Let the anchor of your soul be the basis of the very Word itself, and anchor your soul in it. Quite frankly, that's the only way it can be. 20. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, that's to say behind the veil, Christ, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. What does the word Melchizedek mean in the Hebrew tongue? I know you've heard it translated many ways. Let me do it for you, and you can do it for yourself. Melka in the Hebrew tongue is king. Zedek is the same as Zadok, meaning the just, the upright, the election. He's king of the elect. King of peace, Shalom, Melchizedek. The priest forever. In other words, it doesn't change. Is the priest of the elect. That's what Christ is, behind the veil, ready to bless you when you understand those promises and claim them. Fantastic. Two unchangeable, two immutable things. What were they? We read over it there. What were those two things? His oath and His promise. Don't ever forget it. They're yours. And you can have peace of mind. And listen, when God blesses your life, it's the difference in you keeping your bills paid without worry or you having to worry about it. Let's take a ministry. It's the difference in a ministry having to be a bunch of beggars or God's blessings. By that I mean a ministry that isn't blessed of God must run telephones, must beg for money, must do many other things to get people's even interest, when all you need is the Word of God that puts meat on the ribs of those that want to follow Him, whereby milk is beautiful and wonderful. But when you mature and become of age in this life and want more and want a better understanding, you gain that, of course, from your Father. I tell you what, go two books past where we are. Am I right? Hebrews, we'll go to past James, past 1 Peter. Go to 2 Peter for me for a moment here. Chapter 1. Bearing that same thought in mind, verse 3 of chapter 1, 2 Peter. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and goodness, and godliness rather, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Through what? Through knowledge. That's so important, beloved. Not blind faith is beautiful, even if it is blind, but you deserve better. You don't have to be blind. 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. I wonder how many of them you've claimed. And then I wonder how many times you sit back and, oh, God never blesses me. Well, silly, you never ask. You don't know how to ask, maybe. Maybe you need to investigate a little bit. Maybe you don't know what the promises are, so naturally it's not going to do you any good to ask for something that isn't included in the promises. You've got to know what they are. That's knowledge. Okay, that's not difficult, all right? And I'm not talking down to anyone. These are facts. Verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. In other words, raising to that higher mind. And many people say, oh my word, that means that you can't even talk about sex and be a Christian. And Christians have better sex than anyone. Lust is not sex. All right? I say that for the young people. Sometimes they'll say to you, there is no sin in admiring one of God's creations, both male or female. Lust is when you put the make on everything that moves. All right? But you don't do that. All right? There's a difference. What I'm saying, you can be very happy and be a Christian. That is natural. But also, did you note divine nature? That means God's Spirit will come into your life and bring you blessings with that knowledge, clean and pure. Okay? You can escape the corruption. 5. And beside this, giving all diligence. Do you know what that means? That means be careful. Take care. Add to your faith virtue. Virtue. That's resolution. Don't be a quitter. Oh, that's so hard. I don't think I want to do it. Don't give up and you'll always win. All right? And to virtue, knowledge. Do you know what that is? That's intelligently seek knowledge. How do you do that? By studying His Word. It'll rub off on you. You'll with understanding. These things are so important, beloved. 6, and to knowledge, temperance. That's self-control. And to temperance, to self-control, patience. All right? Again, that's steadfastness. And to patience, godliness. Again, bringing in the divine nature, as mentioned in verse 4. You can do that. You can find peace of mind. You can be somebody. You can be a champion of your people. That doesn't mean that you're in show business or anything of that nature. That simply means that people can tell by looking at you and coming into your presence that you're standing on a base that is sure and you're not worried, and don't worry, they can see it. People will come up to you and say, why don't you get all shook up when something like that happens? Because you understand it. And you have a working knowledge of it because you're intelligent in God's Word, which is the only true wisdom there is in the world. 7. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. Be good to each other. And to brotherly kindness, charity. That means love, the strongest weapon in the world. Sometimes you have to practice tough love. Many times people misunderstand my method of teaching because they don't understand tough love. But I'm not going to saddle soap anybody just to have them say, that's a nice old boy. I don't care whether they think I'm a nice old boy or not. It would be nice if they did. But if I'm responsible for teaching God's Word and it takes a little hide, get ready, the hide's going to slip. Because that's God's Word. It's to straighten us out. Sometimes it causes my hide to slip a little also. But I needed it. You do. We need the Word taught to straighten us up and mature us where we're not children anymore. Why doesn't God bless me? Well, idiot, wake up and read God's Word and you'll find out, okay? It's called maturity. Okay, that's love. That's tough love. If you really love somebody enough to care, you care enough about them to want them to find that same peace of mind, okay? 8. For if these things be in you and abound, that means if they just are able to work within you freely, they make you that ye shall neither be barren, that means idle or wasteful, nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand? That's a promise. You won't be idle or barren of the knowledge of God's Word to help others. That's a promise He's made to you. All you have to do is strive for it. And it will be a blessing to others. You can be a blessing to others. You can be somebody. That's what a true Christian is. Somebody, not a second-class citizen. Verse 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind, that's kind of nearsighted, short-sighted, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Okay? Now, verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence or care to make your calling and election sure. Now, I want you to underline that word sure in your mind or your Bible. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. That means you'll never stumble. Now, you may trip a little bit, but He'll always catch you and pick you up. How many would need 3 guesses to know what that word sure is in the Hebrew, in the Greek? I think you all know. It's bibios. Make your foundation, that sure foundation, your election, your calling and election on the basis of the Word. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. You will be respected by those that should respect you. No one can please everybody. I guarantee you that, okay? There'll be people that will talk about you or criticize. Doesn't matter, okay? If you know that you're in God's will and what you're doing is justified, it doesn't matter. Please God and don't worry about people, because people that will hear God's Word will love you and respect you and appreciate what you do. And the others, hey, it don't matter, all right? Love them as brethren, but you don't have to please them. Meaning, that's where you kick in tough love. If you have to, grow wise enough and skilled enough that you can challenge them. And that's one reason it doesn't hurt to be wise also in street talk. Because one armed with both street talk, and incidentally, Paul spoke street Greek. He was not educated in Greek. He was a Hebrew scholar. But what a combination, okay, to be armed with the Word of God and yet understand what they're talking about. It's fantastic. Again, here we see that little word, S-U-R-E. But it means so much more. And that's why I felt compelled that we should learn that word in the Greek and see that it's talking about not just that it's a sure little thing, or not just that you should be steadfast, but that you should take in the Word of God as your basis, that you walk in that, and that you become firm on that foundation. And the world can't shake you, friend. Hey, this world waxes worse and worse, but understand, it's written long ago. Nothing's going to bother you as long as you use common sense and love and understanding and do it God's way. That's always so very important. I want to use one more scripture, one more place in closing. Colossians, back up in the New Testament to the book of Colossians. We're going to go to chapter 2. We're just going to take a few little verses here. Kind of a warning, but on the same subject. This Colossians chapter 2, while you're turning there, if I can remind you, one of the most beautiful chapters in the Bible because it tells you what ordinances, statutes, and laws, knowing the difference between the three that were nailed to the cross with Christ, or which is to say that He became, He fulfilled. No more blood rituals, for His blood covers all. No more holidays that you should put above because Christ became our Passover, so forth. Okay, we're in that chapter. Now, pick it up with the fourth verse, back, put your minds back in gear to steadfast or to be sure. Biblios, all right, verse 4 of chapter 2. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. It's important that you don't let some man draw you off from a true course. How do you prevent that? You study God's Word. Well, if I'm almost biblically illiterate, how do I know how to trust the man that is teaching me? By the basic common sense, by rules that apply to any teacher. Anytime someone tries to tell you, you must believe this, or you must believe that, and don't ever question me, you better let every warning flag in your mind hit the ceiling. Because a true teacher teaches you not only the Word of God, but gives you the tools to go back into the Hebrew or the Greek, teaches you how to find them, to check him out. Because a true teacher doesn't want to spoon feed you. They want you to learn to study for yourself. Because that's what a good teacher is someone that takes a babe and makes a champion out of them, a teacher, someone full of meat that can handle themselves. And that's one of the greatest blessings a teacher can ever have. Is, I don't like the word pride, but nevertheless, boy, there is nothing prides me more than to see one of my students, or I should say God's students, because when a teacher is gifted, it's God's gift that does it anyway, okay? But know that. How do you retain your field of equilibrium whereby you know whether someone's trying to deceive you or not? If they're countering God's Word, if they're not giving you an opportunity to question them, or teaching you how to, if you don't understand the Greek language, then that teacher had better tell you how to find out and even make available the resources for you to check him out, or he's afraid of something. Got it? Okay, it's that simple. Now, 5. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. All right? Steadfastness of your faith in Christ. That word steadfast there is just a little different than the one we're studying, so I pass on further. 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. In other words, in your daily life, keep that in your mind. If you have a problem, you don't have to say it out loud. Father, help me in the name of Christ. If you're trying, He'll do it. That's His promise, okay? Makes life so much better. All right? 7. Rooted and built up in Him and established. Now, you want to know what? I bet I could give you 3 guesses and everybody in here would know what that word was in the Greek. Established. You got it. That's it. Biblios. Biblios. All right? In the Greek. And that means rooted on the very basis of God's Word. Not one chapter, not the New Testament, but all of it. All right? All of it. In the faith, that's where your faith comes from, is knowing what you believe. That's what gives you faith. As ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Be a teacher, beloved, to your family. Be a teacher. Be able to handle God's Word. Do you know something? When a poor soul is listless and looking for direction, how precious it is for you to be able to say, I love you so much. Let me help you. Let me show you how I feel about this or what has helped me. and take them into that smooth path, kick the rocks out of the road for them with the power of the Word of God that strengthens them, that takes over. All right? But be that teacher in your family, among your friends. They'll seek you out. You don't have to advertise or anything of that nature, okay? Listen to me. All of God's gifts make place or room for themselves. All right? They do. I'll use myself as an example, and perhaps this is in bad taste. As a Marine sergeant, I never chose to be a preacher or a teacher. Believe me. Never. But it just happened. I never planned to be on television. It just happened. Does that mean you didn't work at it? No. Once he showed me, once that a network called me and requested, said, we don't have a teacher, all we got is a bunch of evangelists. We want a teacher, and you're the only one we can find. That's, you know, at that time we were making little old tapes for shut-ins, videotapes for shut-ins. But it ended up all the way in Florida. So boom. But that's God's control, is it not? Do you understand what I'm saying? God's gifts to man or woman or child will always make room for themselves. 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments, maybe you should think of that as elements, okay, instead of rudiments, elements of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Man, you don't need anything else. He is Emmanuel, which is to say, God with us. 10, and ye are complete. I repeat, there's nothing missing. I just feel like there's something missing in my life. And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Principalities and power means even the angelic beings. That even covers what I'm saying is evil spirits that might come in your life. It gives you power over them. Hey, get out of here in the name of Jesus. Get out of my life, negative thought or negative spirit. Scoot. Don't worry, they will. They will become afraid of you. And I mean to tell you, you can have that assurance if you partake. And just one analogy. And I'm going to use our own ministry as that analogy. And I'm going to apply that to the church of Smyrna in Philadelphia in the book of Revelation 2 and 3. Out of 7 churches, there were only 2 that Christ did not find fault with. Now, what does that tell me? We had better be teaching what those 2 were teaching, or He will find fault with us. So we teach who the Kenites are. Not to their destruction, but even if possible, their salvation. But at least where the people of the world will know and understand that part of God's plan. That is only one example, using that as an analogy of how that the basics, if you didn't know that, there's no way you could understand the first 6 chapters of Genesis. You might think you did, and you might grab part of it, but there's no way you would understand the in-depth study or truth without understanding that very fact. So when He speaks, and that basis, or your base, let's take it all the way back to the etymology of the word. It goes down to even walking, how you move in Christ, how you move in your Father. That's the base. Strengthen that daily. Give Him just a little bit of a time, of your time, to always grow. I've been teaching His Word for 40 years. I learn something every day. It would be real easy to be one of those of vanity and say, I read it and I know it. It's pregnant. It continues growing. There's no way you can know it all, because God continues to reveal and unfold before your very eyes. So, be Bibios. Bibios. Don't forget it. It's a Greek word that's very important. It's translated in the English, sure. Establish. Confirm. But it means a lot more. What does it mean to be confirmed? If you know His Word and believe it and have faith in it, it is His promise that you are an heir of the promise. Period. Can we say that one more time? If you are based on His Word with faith and belief, you are guaranteed to be an heir of the promise, and your Father owns everything in the world. Hey, He's ready to give you a bunch of it right now. And I'm not a prosperity minister, all right? I'm just saying the harder you work, the more you're blessed. And He certainly loves to bless His own. All right, I hope you enjoyed that. Father, we thank You for Your written Word. Father, thank You for Your truth, for Your guidance, for Your love. We'll be careful to give You the praise for it in the name of Yeshua Messiah. Amen.